Thank you so much, music team. Appreciate that very much. Before we start our service, let's just have a word of prayer that the Lord would guide us through this message, and then also that we would just bring before you our pastor and his wife and the family as they're back there in back east. Father, again, we just commit this service to you, every part of it. We want to praise your name with song. We want to give glory to you by your word. We want to honor you in everything we do and say. Father, we just ask now that you would be especially comforting Sarah and Chad and the kids. Father, that you would just be just again, like I said, your arms wrapped around them. Father, comfort them, also Sarah's mom and the rest of the family. Father, guide and direct this whole week that will just bring glory to you. Look forward to what they'll have to share with us when they get back. Father, give them a safe time there and a safe time in return. Lord, now we just ask that you would help me as I open your word, Father, that it would be glorifying to you, and Father, that it would teach us and help us to grow closer to you. We might honor you in everything we do and say in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good. I'm so glad you're here this morning. How many of you like to exercise? Okay, we've got a couple here. Well, good. Looks like we've got 99 dislike it and one like it. Is that what it is? Just a few? Well, you know, exercise is good. It's really good. It helps us. As Americans, do you ever stop and think about it? I think we're a little crazy with exercise. You know, I got to thinking about this a little bit. You know, there's the universal gym. There's weight machines. There's the Bowflex. There's the stair treader, treadmills, ab machines, shake machines, and you name it. And you just go on about all the different machines you can get. Then also, if you're not satisfied with that, you can go to LA Fitness, 24-Hour Fitness, Jazzercise, Curves, and the list goes on from there. Of course, COVID has cut quite a bit of that. But it's interesting. You know, I remember in the past, all we had, there's maybe a few over here, Jack LaLanne and Richard Simmons were probably the only ones that were the exercise guys. To the younger folks, you're probably, who's that? You know. Anyways, remember that? All of us at one time have probably started an exercise program. Some of us have been diligent enough to stick with it, and then other ones have just crashed and burned. And I feel like I'm in the crashed and burned part because I start, I fall, and, you know, so I try, but it's a constant more than get up than get out. So it's interesting. You know, exercise is good. There's no two ways about it. It is really good. But, you know, the only way exercise works is if you're consistent. You need to be consistent every single day. So it's very, very important that we do that. Donna and I have found one exercise that has helped us both, and that is walking. It's one thing, it doesn't cost anything. Second thing is, it puts us together, and it's a blessing for me because I'm with my sweetheart. Can't beat that, that's for sure. You know, just as walking helps us physically, so walking with the Lord helps us spiritually. In Scripture, we're told to walk. That picture of walking is a picture of what kind of manner of life we have. What is our conduct of life? How we think, how we behave. You know, it's so good as I've opened up Psalm 1 there in our service. It says, how blessed is a man who does not walk. He starts off with three negatives. Does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Another author has said this. He says, blessed is the man who believes like, behaves like, and belongs to God. Old Testament examples of walking are starting way back in Genesis, Enoch. And I can't comprehend this. He walked 300 years with the Lord. That's a long time. That is a long time to walk. 300 years, of course, we know the Lord took him. Another one, Noah, walked with the Lord, it's said in Scripture. It's interesting that Noah didn't start building that boat till he was what? 500 years old. And he lived to 950. That is amazing. Can you imagine building a boat for 120 years and there wasn't one good thing said as you were building that boat? Because it hadn't rained. That boat sitting out there, he's there, what are you building the boat for? And just constant ridicule for 120 years. Sometimes we can't take it for what, 10 seconds? We quit. Moses walked with the Lord. You can go through the Old Testament, and you think of, Noah was talking about walk with the Lord. Moses walked with the Lord, Joshua, Samuel, David, the Old Testament prophets, all give examples. In the New Testament, many of the authors, as we see from Scripture, walk with the Lord. That was their manner of life. The Apostle Paul uses walking the most. He uses it the most. And I want to just give you a little snippet of what he said in talking about walking with the Lord. Here's some, you don't have to turn there, but just listen as I talk about some of these. Romans 8:4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, we also walk by the Spirit. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. 5:15, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Colossians 1:10, you probably remember this when Pastor was going through Colossians. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. John uses walking too. He says, 1 John 1:7, but if you walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Over in 2 John, he says this in 2 John 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So both, a lot of the New Testament talks about walking. It's something that we should do. So we talk about physically it's a good thing, but spiritually it is more important to walk. So I want to get down and find out exactly, when we talk about what walking, what exactly is the Lord meaning? If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to read the first three verses here. Paul says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul has just gotten through and talked about in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3. talking about all the things that we have, all the teachings that we have, all the doctrine that we have in chapters 1 through 3. And he's going to go starting with verse 4 through 6 and give us our duty or our walk, how we're supposed to walk. Paul finishes chapter 3 with all the blessings that we have in Christ. Then he opens chapter 4. Because of all those blessings in Christ, I implore you, I beseech you, I encourage you to walk worthy. Walk worthy. Talking about in humility, in gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to walk this walk. Let's go down a little bit farther here in Ephesians and talk about Ephesians 4 would be the same thing as Colossians chapter 3. So the two of them compare almost side by side. Ephesians talks about the body of Christ. Colossians talks about Christ as being the head of that body. So let's go down. I'm going to read down through. What we'll discuss this morning is verses 17 down through 32 and talking about walking and how we should walk. Verse 17 says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind." So he's saying here up there in one, we're to walk in a worthy manner. Here in verse 17, we are not to walk what we were before our salvation. We are not to walk that way. We are to take, talking about futility, it's vain, it's empty, it's aimless, without meaning. In other words, he's talking about here, he says, "I affirm to you together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility, in the vainness, in the emptiness." You stop and think about yourself before you were saved. Just think about some of the things that you did. Some of those things were very vain. Some of those were very empty, thoughtless and everything. So it's important that we take and follow what Paul says here. Don't do those things. One author puts it this way. As far as spiritual and moral issues are concerned, their rational processes are distorted. We're talking about the unsaved person are distorted and inadequate, inevitably failing to produce godly understanding or moral living. Their life is empty, vain, without meaning and purpose. You know what? I knew that's exactly what I was before I came to know Christ. That's exactly how I thought. I was very vain. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says they were spiritually appraised, meaning they were missing the true spiritual insight or discernment of what God's word has to say or anything about God. Romans chapter 8. If you keep your finger there and turn back to Romans chapter 8. I'd like to read a few verses here, starting with verse 5. "For those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit set the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." That's where we were before we were saved. That's where we were. That's what our thinking was. That's how it was. It was futile. It was vain. It was useless. There was nothing good about it. It wasn't able to please God. You know, over the years, I learned a term called a noetic effect of sin. And noetic talks about pertaining to the mind. Scripture shows that the battle is in the heart or the mind. Sometimes those two are interchangeable. It is our thinking process. In the garden, man was created, Adam was created. He was in total sync with God. He walked with him. He talked with him. There wasn't any problems. There was anything. There was constant, that beautiful relationship. Then Adam sinned. Due to the effect, noahic effect of sin, we might say that his thinking processes and ours before we were saved got all messed up. We no longer have the ability to think like God wants us to think in order to please him and do what he commands. We need to have our minds renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to have our thinking changed to please what pleases God. The battle is in our minds. Our heart sometimes is referred to. It is our thinking process. It is because of the noahic effect that unsaved man has no choice but to follow his corrupted thinking. It is a new birth salvation that gives a believer the ability to choose right from wrong while nothing the unbeliever does to please God. That's an amazing fact, an amazing fact. Well, let's go down a little bit more and see what else Paul has to say there. Let's look at 17 and 18. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That's quite a laundry list for the unsaved. Darkened their understanding. Think of this in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan has blinded their minds. Darkness is there is more enjoyable than light, talking about over in John chapter 3. Excluded from the life of God, chose not to seek God. You know, it's interesting you're talking about that. It's talking about a hardness of their conscience, numb, callous, and without desire towards God. Can you think of that? You think of callous. You know, those guys can think of it easier than the ladies. You think of callous. Eventually, your hands get really hard. You're hardworking really hard, and eventually, hardly anything penetrates that. You can't have hardly any feeling in it. Well, that's the same thing that's here. Talking about the conscience of that person is so hard-hearted. We see this almost every day on the television. We see this in the radio. We see this in the newspaper. How hearted people are turning away from God. They don't want anything to do with him. Their desires are evil. That's what we were before we came to Christ. Look at verse 20. But. Isn't that amazing? But we're going to have a change here. Something's happened. You were this way, now you're going to be a different way. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him, you have been taught in him, and just as the truth is in Jesus. But we have hope, and our hope is in Christ Jesus. Christ, the Spirit of God, God the Father, help us to walk in him. Walk like Christ, as we have heard, as we have learned, as we have been taught in Christ. We know that he is the truth. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's only one way. 1 John 5:20. Listen to this, what John has to say. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and that we are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There is Jesus Christ as God Almighty. The unsaved person walks in the rotility of their mind. They're blinded. They cannot see. They're ignorant to the truth. They've got hardened hearts. The saved person did not learn this. Christ is the way. Because we are walking in truth, guided by the Spirit of truth. Such an important thing. And it's not something we stop. We don't stop one day and walk, and the next day we do something else. It's something you do moment by moment of your life. It's something that you don't quit. It's something that you guard your mind with. It's something that you walk with. Let's go on down and find a little bit more of what Paul has to say here, starting at verse 22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you laid aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Interesting. That in reference to your former self. So there's been a change. You came up to one point, you got saved, and you change 180 degrees, and you're marching towards God. That is repentance. That's turned around. That you, in reference to our former life, you laid aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. That's an amazing thing. As you look at this, talking about this, it says you've laid aside. Think of this as putting off. Think of this as an old, filthy garment that has smelled and stunk. It just is so putrefied. You just want to take that thing off and get rid of it and throw it away. Put off that. You've laid aside that old self. Sometimes it's referred to as the old man. We walk differently. We take it differently. God wants us to take that and to walk pleasing to Him. Literally remove it as you would old clothes. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 is almost like a parallel with this talking about Paul's walking. But he talks about this. I think it's so good to understand, helps us to understand a little bit more of what he's talking here by bringing in some other scriptures. Romans 6, starting with verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism and death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united in him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is free from sin. What a comfort it is to know that we have, talking about being baptized in Christ, and you know that's spiritual baptism, that isn't the water baptism. Spiritual baptism, you've been taken out of Adam's body and you've put in Christ's body. Talking about that, we no longer walk that way, we walk in newness of life. That's what Paul is trying to say here. We've been freed from that old life. We walk in a newness of life. Listen to these. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that a comfort? Our old man, you know, we've gotten rid of the sin nature, but now we still got that sin nature, I should say, and then we have it. We want to take it and put it aside, get rid of it. Don't plug it in. Don't allow it to rule your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation in Christ. All is gone. Everything has been replaced new. Galatians 2:20, we have been crucified with Christ. Just think about that. Just stop and think about what that means to be crucified. Remember the agony that Christ had gone on for 6 hours on that cross, to where the crucifixion was the most cruelest thing that they could possibly think of, by first of all nailing somebody there and nailing it in a way to where they, if they don't constantly push up, they suffocate. And it's just constant pain. And here Christ is saying, your old self is crucified. It's crucified. Let's go on to Ephesians chapter, back to Ephesians chapter 4:23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, and be created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So in verse 22, he tells us to lay off the old self. Verses 23 and 24, he's taking him out, renew your mind, the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, which is created in what? Righteousness, holiness, and the truth. And you stop about thinking about those three words, righteousness. Who is righteous? Only God is righteous. Who is holy? Only God is holy. And who has the truth? Only God has the truth. And yet, what does he say? He says, put this on. We have been given this at our salvation. He has been given us that. And hopefully, you are walking that way. As we look at this, and we see our Savior as our example, sometimes we fall back, don't we? Sometimes we fall back. And that's what he's saying. Stop, put on. Stop, put on. Don't let those things that you've had before you were saved continue as a habit throughout your life. Stop. Think about those things. You know, I was thinking, in order to get rid of a habit, it takes a minimum of 21 days of constantly doing it every day. And then you still have to do it for the rest of your life. It's important. It's amazing. We don't have a habit of breathing, do we? No, it's automatic. And that's the same way that we should be with our walk with Christ. It should be that automatic. Well, let's go on, because Paul helps us to understand in these last few verses. He says, therefore, because of what I said there, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. What a powerful, powerful statement. We've laid aside the old self. The old self had falsehood. Stop lying, he's saying. Which means exaggeration, embellishment. You know, we talk about ad-libs or clibs or just, you know, poking somebody. Don't do that. Don't do any of that. He doesn't want us to exaggerate or embellish anything. The truth, creating, he wants us to have that truth in our life. Sometimes we think of lying can be cheating, too, because you've cheated somebody. You made a promise, and you don't come through. Put on the truth. We need, as people, to walk in truth and be truthful in everything we do, everything we think, and everything we say. And particularly in the members of the body itself, we need to be truthful in talking to one another. Verses 26 and 27, it says, be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. So Paul, what are you saying here? There are times, you know, that you can get angry. There are times that you can do it for righteous reasons only. But he says here, do not let the sin go down on your anger. Very, very important. You can get angry, but then as the sun goes down, stop. Don't get angry anymore. Because what happens is you'll give an opportunity to the devil, and the devil will take that as far as he can possibly do that. Do not get angry. Do not allow that to happen. Keep short accounts. Do not let Satan get a foothold. Because if you start, he will have a foothold, and it could last your entire life. Believers control themselves. They control their anger. They have self-control. You know, as men, we've been studying disciplines of a godly man. And you need to have discipline in your life. Each one of us needs to have discipline. We need to walk in discipline. And it's hard. And I'll tell you, if you think it's easy, then you've got the wrong kind of Christianity. Christianity is hard. It's difficult because we need to be disciplined. And we always go the opposite. We go the easy way rather than the hard way. Control that anger. Don't let it get out of control. You know, as believers, control anger is very good. Use it a little bit for the righteous reasons and then go on. Don't allow Satan to turn it into resentment, which leads to bitterness. Put off anger. Next one there, he's talking about here. It says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that we'll have something to share with one who is in need. And I got to thinking about that more and more. Why did Paul put that in there, stealing? Well, there must have been a problem, otherwise they wouldn't have brought it up. And I was wondering, you know, as part of the thing, I think pastors brought it up too, that the majority of Christians were what? Slaves. And some of them may have had to steal to live. And he's saying, you know, don't steal. God will provide. It's interesting. Stealing, it's for self-satisfaction, isn't it? Stealing, it winds up to be something that's self-gratifying. I want what others have. That's why I steal. Put it off. Put on work. Do you ever realize or think about that work started in the garden? It started way back in the garden. Well, Adam was supposed to tend that garden. It continues on. We know that now work is very difficult and very hard because of sin. But in the future, we get to heaven. We're still going to work. We are. God is going to have it. Of course, it's going to be a lot easier like it was for Adam. So we need to do that. You know, interesting, I was thinking of why work? You know what? As you work, hopefully you become a good saver. Hopefully you become a good giver. First of all, to God and then also to your other brothers and sisters in the Lord and maybe others. Be a blessing to others. I like what Jesus said in Acts 20:35. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Of course, he showed that example all the way on the cross. He gave. Be a giver. Think Paul's been meddling so far? He's been meddling in our life and really looking at us and pulling back the curtain. Well, hang on to your seatbelts because he's only going to get worse. He's only going to get worse. Verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that you will give grace to those who hear. We can always learn from this. One of the things that I struggled with early in my Christianity, and sometimes, you know, we do all the time, is what I was known for before I got saved. I was known as Silver Tongue. Because I could take and lash out and knock someone over with my tongue. And I enjoyed doing that. After I got saved, Lord turned me around and showed me that that was sin and how bad that was. And I praise the Lord every day that he saved me. That is one of the only reasons. But he has saved me, and I'm just so thankful for that. As he's talking about here, he says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Now, when he's talking about unwholesome, it's sort of well, it's not bad. But the word here is rotten, foul, corrupt. It has the idea of rotten fruit or rotten meat. Now, we've all been around that. We know the stench is just absolutely, it just takes you back, almost knocks you over. Well, here he's picturing anything. Any unwholesome word would literally knock someone over because of that. We are not to be, you know, we need to, what we say, what we do, we need to watch how we speak. I love what Psalm 141:3 says. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So, so important. Put on. We've taken off that unwholesome word. Put on words that are helpful, beneficial, edifying, encouraging. Now, that doesn't mean you can't joke, you know, but joke in a good way. Don't joke putting down. Don't joke hurting someone. James chapter 3 has a lot to say about the tongue if you'd like to look into it. Even when you correct someone, always say it with grace. Always say it with grace. Let's go on. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. If you don't put off, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives in each one of us. The Holy Spirit you were sealed for the day of redemption. Turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 1. This is where Paul's getting it from. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Do you see it there? Talking about the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, you have been sealed. He's talking about here, back here. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You are sealed. You're placed in there. You're placed in the Spirit of God. It's just an amazing thing. So let's go on and take a look here and see what we can do. Verse 31, put off, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, along with all malice. Put off. Put off, first of all, bitterness. What is bitterness? Resentfulness, settled hostility that poisons the inner man. Hebrews 12:15 says, let no root of bitterness come up in you, spring up or cause trouble that it may defile you. Colossians 3:19, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. It's all important for us guys is we need to love our wives and not to be embittered against them. So important. Bitterness, you know what that does? That grieves the Holy Spirit. That grieves the Holy Spirit. When you think of grieve, think of sorrowful. Well, it's more than that. It literally causes pain, distress, and grief. The third person of the Trinity, that's what we usually say the Holy Spirit is, he is God. And he is grieved. He is grieved, he's distressed on what we do. And this grieves him. Don't allow bitterness into there. Put off wrath, flaring outbursts of rage, violent outbursts of anger, flying off the handle. You know what? It always hurts someone when you do that. Always, always hurts someone. Sometimes that's your intention because of your wrath. You want to hurt someone. Don't do it. Put it off. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Put off anger. These are people who seethe. Sometimes you've been around people, they don't get angry, they don't have outbursts, but they sit there and they're a literal time bomb. You're just waiting for them to go on off. You almost can't sit next to them or be around them because you're waiting for them to explode. And when they do, they wind up in anger. Don't put off. Don't grieve the Spirit. Next one, clamor. Hash, contention, strife, quarreling in public, losing their temper or self-control. Again, just the opposite. We want to have self-control. Clamor, put off, don't grieve the Spirit. Next one there, slander. Speech that is intended to injure someone's character. Abusive speech. Well, it's just, Paul goes on and on about this. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Put off again malice, the desire to harm someone or to see someone hurt or ill will or wickedness towards others. These, again, grieve the Holy Spirit. It's the old make my day. We don't want to do that. We want to take these old habits. We want to put them off. We want to get rid of them. We don't want to grieve the Spirit. We want to just take that old thing and just throw it in the trash and get rid of it and walk differently. There's hope. There's hope for us. Verse 32. One little verse. Three things that he says here. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Those three things wipe out all the put-offs. Those three things wipe out. Do you realize how God, for economy of words, says very little, and it just explodes? It's just an amazing thing. Be kind to one another. Wow. You replace these. You're talking about habits. Those are old habits. You replace those with these habits. These habits of kindness, an attitude of helpfulness, courteousness, polite, and gracious. Do we see that in our society today? Absolutely not. I hope you want to bring up your kids being polite. Never mind what everybody else is doing. You want them to be kind. You want them to be gracious. You want them to be thankful. The key to the Christian life is thanksgiving. You have a thankful attitude. You can go through anything. Kindness, so important. Put that on. Make that a habit. Put on tenderness. And tenderness is compassion, sympathetic attitude. You know what? We've got a high priest that has that same sympathetic attitude. Hebrews chapter 4, 15. Christ is our sympathetic and high priest. Amen. Proverbs says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of transgressions. Last one there, put on, forgiving each other, means to pass over an offense and free the offender of guilt. Again, going back to Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Matthew 6:14, if we forgive others for their transgressions, your Father will also forgive you. We're not talking about salvation, but we're talking about day-to-day forgiveness. Isaiah 43:25 says, I will not remember your sins. Isn't that an amazing statement? I will not remember your sins. That is, I can't get over that. I just thank the Lord every day that he does not remember my sins. Turn over just to Colossians. Pastor read this last week, but it's such a good one. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you. We have been forgiven much. There isn't anything we deserve to receive that forgiveness, but by God's grace. We have been forgiven. So each one of us. There shouldn't be anybody, as a Christian, there isn't should be anybody that you cannot forgive. That you cannot say, I forgive you, and I if there's any problems there, I forgive you. It is so, so important. We've looked at Paul in Ephesians here about walking, about putting on, putting off. You know, walking physically is good for your health, but my prayer that your spiritual walk will be more like Christ every single day. We need not to walk as the world walks in emptiness of their minds, aimlessly, without purpose, void of God. We are to put off those things. Our goal is to walk like Christ. We are to put on new life in Christ, which is righteousness, holiness, and truth. The best exercise is walking with Christ, realizing their old man is defeated. Our flesh is gone away with. Put away that old man and be renewed by the Spirit of God. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says this: we are to overflow with gratitude because of what God has given us. Question today is, how's your walk with God? Are you walking with Him? Are you a walking advertisement for Him? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are Almighty God. I thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. I thank you that you've given us handles in Scripture that we can put off things that are ungodly and put on things that are godly. Help us to walk each and every day for your glory, for your praise. Father, again, we just thank you for your word and thank you for the great God that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.